James Bible with you tonight. Raise it up. All right, good. Amen and amen. Now, this is a bit of a teaching message. We're going to be looking at a message that kind of lays a foundation. I'll get into more detail, hopefully, as we go along. I always say that with series because I never know what I'm going to do. But anyway, I would like to do that. I want to start out tonight by saying I remember hearing about what I would call a Laodicean type Christian school principal. I do believe in the predominant churches today are what we call Laodicean type churches. I think that started sometime in the 20th century. I can't put an exact date on it. Different men, disagree on that. But sometime during the 20th century, that the Laodicean era happened. By that I meant we swung from a Philadelphian type church to a Laodicean type church. And the Philadelphian type churches in the book of Revelation, they became very prevalent with the father of modern missions, William Carey, and those kind of men that started missions. And Adoniram Judson was part of that, Hudson Taylor later on, in the 1700s through the 1800s and coming right into the 20th century. But more and more Laodicean churches began to creep in. And now we're living in the 21st century in a Laodicean time period. Amen. Maria, good to see you tonight. Kids, amen. You boys going to camp tonight? Amen. All right. And we have those kind of churches that are coming about more and more and more. But that doesn't mean we can't be a Philadelphian church. I always say, we're living in a Laodicean era, but not on my watch are we going to be Laodicean. And that doesn't mean we can't have revivals of the old Philadelphian type Christianity. And so tonight, that's where my heart is. Now, I haven't always had that heart. When I came out of college and I came out of seminary, especially out of Bible college, I was a young pastor with the church that everybody wanted to join. But unfortunately, I had a lot of intellectualism, a lot of knowledge, and I could put forth truth, and people came, they liked to come to our church. It was the church to join at one time, if you talk about the late 70s, early 80s. And we moved into a big building in Green Ridge. People were coming. They were coming from all these different churches. But guess what? I had traded my King James Bible in for a modern translation. We had a Christian rock band in the church. And they were rocking for Jesus. And we were having fun, And we had a praise band. But my heart was bothering me. I said, there's something wrong here. And then God took me to the woodshed for bloodshed. He whipped my tail. My Heavenly Father believes in whippings. Amen. Children and youth might not believe in it, but the Heavenly Father believes in it. And I have been chastened. And I am a fundamentalist by spanking. I got spanked into it. And I want to tell you, I've never been the same since then. I turned back to the King James Bible. I turned back the clock on what we believed as far as standards. And we became an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church. And I've never turned back from that. And I began to seek what our fathers had, our forefathers had. And if you look at America back in the 1800s, I've looked at movies coming into 1905, old movies, 1910. You should see the whole of America was different. I mean, the church affected the world then. But now it's the world coming into the church. And we are living at Laodicean, but I don't intend to change. Amen. I intend to stay. You say, are you behind times? Yeah, about 2,000 years behind the times. Amen. And that's what I intend to be. So anyway, there was this Laodicean type church principal, and he was talking to a fundamental Baptist principal. This is a true story. And he was saying, I know about your Christian school. You guys are legalistic. You're legalists. And he started to say why he was a legalist. And he said, you're legalist because you have all these rules and standards that you have. And I'll get into that later on. But the fundamentalist school principal said, well, then I guess from what I understand, your girls go to school dressed in their panties and bra if they want to, right? He said, no, that's a lie. We don't allow that. He said, oh, then you do have standards. They're just a little broader than mine. He said, legalist, legalist, legalist. You see, there's a big misunderstanding amongst people that think that they understand the biblical New Testament teaching on legalism. And these kind of attacks come against those that have higher standards of holiness in their life than so many of what I would call the Laodicean period misuse of the biblical definition of legalism. But if you look at the Bible, true definition of legalism was hammered out at the very beginning of the New Testament. And we're studying in Sunday school the book of Acts. How many of you are in Sunday school today? You keep coming. If you don't come to Sunday school, come to Sunday school because you're going to go to school. Amen? And we teach the same thing at every level. Kindergartners all the way through adult. Every class, we have like three different adult classes, I think it is. But every level, we teach at different levels the same thing. And the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 15, you had a council of believers that came together to the church at Jerusalem. And they all came together because the apostles were there and the pastors of the church were there, called elders. And they hammered it out. And the senior pastor was a guy named James at that time, the Lord's brother. And he came up after a doctrinal discussion. They had a big doctrinal exchange between all the... And he came up with his sentence, and he gave his sentence. And it was that... I'll get into what it was. But anyway, the people in that church that were legalists, they were true legalists. And they had a name... And they were called Judaizers. How many have heard that name? Judaizers. That was the name in the first century for a true legalist. You see, there's a lot of this legalist going around. That's words for the birds. Words for the birds. And tonight, the sermon to begin this series is resist words for the birds. Don't let these Laodicean people back you away from being a fundamentalist. You say, well, what's a fundamentalist? Fundamentalist just believes in truth. And the truth is revealed in the scripture. And has the scriptural convictions of truth. And so you stand for those convictions. And that. Now, I know you need to hold the truth in love. Amen? Some fundamentalists have been so stinking hard-nosed and mean that you wouldn't want their truth if, you know, it hits you in the face because of fundamentalists. But there's a difference between fundamentalist and fundamentalism. You see, a fundamentalist is somebody that may claim to hold the truth, but he doesn't hold it in love. He doesn't hold it with grace. Now, if I had a choice, I agree with Brother Hiles, I'd rather do right wrongly than wrong rightly. I'd rather do right wrongly than wrong rightly. But I really want to do right rightly. I want to do it with the right spirit. I want to do it with a Christ-like spirit. In other words, what would WWJD, what would Joe do? That's what I want to do. So I want to be a fundamentalist that holds the truth in love. Words for the birds, legalist. The true definition of legalism was hammered out at this council. Now, the Judaizers in Pastor James' church were willing to say that Gentiles, non-Jews that weren't raised under the law, they didn't know the ceremonial law, they didn't know the sacrificial law, they didn't know the Mosaic rituals, that Gentiles were not raised in that, now that they accepted Jesus as the Messiah, they were justified. That's what the Judaizers said. They were justified. So they agreed with the people that taught grace, that they were justified. But their definition of justification was different. They said in order to continue being saved and to finally be saved at the rapture or when they die, they have to learn the Mosaic law and practice the Mosaic rituals. And I'm not talking the moral law merely. I'm talking about the temporary rituals of the Mosaic law that were there as shadows, you know, that pointed to Christ in the Old Testament. They had to keep these things. Things like circumcision and other things that were in the Mosaic rituals of the law. The Sabbath days, the feast days, the circumcision, and the whole system. And they were called Judaizers. And it is clear here where they were coming from in doing that. So the belief, their belief was not true. The ceremonies of animal sacrifices, Sabbath days, Sabbath feast days, circumcision, the Mosaic law, could never provide for a final finished salvation. Rather, those ceremonies were given by God to the Jews, not to anybody else, to the Jews, to point them to the finished salvation that their Messiah would provide when he came. And he kept the ceremonial law. He kept the sacrificial law. He himself was circumcised on the eighth day. He kept all of the law. And then he died under the curse of the law. And he ended the dispensation of the Mosaic law. Now that's taught in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Here's what it says. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. Now that's talking about various dietary laws under Judaism. Remember, you couldn't eat pork. How many here have eaten pork? All right. Now, I went for a time when I wouldn't eat even salmon, Brother Joe. I'd just eat vegetables. Now, I'm not a religious vegetarian. I just did it for health. And I did that. Then I started eating fish, you know, relaxed it a little bit. But I never condemned anybody religiously that wanted to eat pork. Because it said don't judge anybody. And that's talking about the dietary law.
Right.
Now, I might be able to judge you medically for what you eat, you know, kinds of food you eat, but not spiritually. And so don't do that, and don't judge based on respect of a holy day. In other words, how about the Seventh-day Adventist?
Right.
Legalist. They say you have to practice the Old Testament Sabbath from sundown Saturday, Friday. I'm sorry, to sundown Saturday. You got to keep the Sabbath. Well, what are they? They're adding Jewish ceremonial law that was ended when Christ died and said it's finished. He ended the ceremonial Mosaic rituals then and there. And they keep it. And the thing of it is, when I talk to a Seventh-day Adventist, I always say to them, well, then if I see you picking up any sticks in your yard on the Sabbath day, I'm going to hit you with stones. And I'm going to get my church out. We're going to stone you. Because you claim to keep the Sabbath, but you don't really keep it.
Right.
Not like Christ taught you to keep it. So, you see, I know what a legalist is. And it says don't judge. Don't let anybody judge you in that. I don't let anybody judge me for having church on Sunday and not keeping the Sabbath on quote-unquote Saturday. This council set up the definition of legalism. So here's the definition of legalism, and it requires faith in the true Messiah plus continuing to practice the ceremonies of the Mosaic rituals in order to finally enjoy full and final salvation and go to heaven or be there in the kingdom with Christ. You can't do it unless you believe in the Messiah. They agreed with that. The Judaizers said, yeah, the Messiah is Jesus. We accept that. But now you have to practice the Mosaic rituals or you won't be finally glorified. When you die, you won't get to heaven. In other words, you'll lose what you have. You have to complete it by works. You're saved by faith, But you're not finally saved unless you continue in the works of the Mosaic rituals of the law. That's true legalism. And Dr. Luke wrote in Acts 15:1, now listen to this, he said, "And certain men," that's the Judaizers, "which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the law, after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved." Say it again. Ye cannot be what?
Saved.
Say it one more time. Ye cannot be what?
Saved.
See, that's true legalism. It's faith in the Messiah plus works, or you cannot be saved. But a lot of people use words for the birds, and they say, "Oh, you're legalistic. You have high standards, and therefore you're legalistic." You may differ on standards than me, but my standards come from what I believe the Word of God teaches. We could differ. That's all right. I'll let you differ. Independent, individual soul liberty. But when you're a pastor of a church, you do it that way. You follow your convictions. I'll follow mine, because I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, not before a group of fundamentalists or any one of you or my mother or my this or my that. Jesus said, "Who is my mother, my brother, sister?" I don't care if it's in my family. I don't care if it's my kids. I don't care who it is. I love them. But I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ. And I went with a great man of God one time on a trip, and we had a bunch of fundamental preachers there. And one of the preachers asked him a question. He said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "what's the greatest danger to fundamentalism?" And Brother Hiles said, "That's a good question." He said, "I believe it's young people brought up in your family that you had that turn away from fundamentalism." He said, "Now, fundamentalism is truth. Let's define it. Truth. It just means going back to the fundamentals of what the Bible teaches. Living by that." And he said, "The greatest danger are your kids, because you love your kids. And they leave truth and you follow them." Thank God when kids get saved and go back to the fundamentals, and they affect their parents to turn that way. Because, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and the way to a heart of parents is through the kids. Amen. But it can work both ways, negatively and positively. But anyway, that's what he says, and that's what he said. And so we need to not be pulled away. And I tell you, a lot of people, a lot of churches are accommodating. They're accommodating to the culture. And we are trying to follow God to a degree, but what we do is we follow the world, really, and the culture, but we lag behind about 10 years. So we're following the world, but we lag behind the world about 10 years. And that is not the way to do it. We just need to just stay with this. In season, you just stay with this. And that is what is lacking, and what a sad thing that is. So I want to talk to you about legalism, which is faith in Christ plus works of the Mosaic temporary rituals in order to have your final salvation guaranteed. I want to tell you, the moment I believed in Jesus Christ, my final salvation was guaranteed. All my sin was put to his account. All his obedience to the law of God was put to my account. And God now treats me just as though I had lived a perfect life based on the law. So I am not a legalist. And I cannot complete my salvation. Jesus did part and got me, forgave all my past sins, and now I'm going to live for him, and then I'll get in through my works. No. When the moment I believed in Christ, I was declared righteous. And not only that, the moment I believed in Christ, I was joined to him. I'm one spirit with the Lord. I'm married to Jesus. I'm in the body of Christ. That will not change. That is not a legalist, friend. That is a grace man. I believe in grace. Grace through faith. I'm grace. And so don't you let those words for the birds throw you, and somebody calls you a legalist because you're a fundamentalist. I am a fundamentalist, but I want to have fundamentalism with a heart. Amen? And fundamentalism, speaking the truth in love, and by the way, giving a person time to grow. You say, you're a fundamentalist. All the ladies in your church wear dresses or skirts. Oh, no, they don't. We have some people in this church, they wear dresses or skirts all the time because they believe it's in the Word of God. I do believe that. I'll back it up. But I do believe that. But we have some ladies, they do that all the time. We have other ladies, they come to this church because they don't believe that, but they like the way a man preaches. Like, boom, you're a tough guy. You're strong. They just like that. And so they come. Not just ladies, but men too. And they come and they like that. You know, that's good. And there are other people, they don't believe it at all. But they'll come anyway for various reasons. They're all welcome. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And there are different levels of growth. And we do have leadership standards that we apply for Sunday school teachers and so forth and so on in this church, in my ministry, because of my convictions. I have people that they don't believe all of my convictions. They don't believe it. But you know what? They'll do it just because our pastor believes it. And I'll just back him. I'll just back him. And that's fine too. That's fine too. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. And then sometime later on they'll say, you know what? I didn't see it. I just did it because you believe it. And now I do see it. All of that is welcome. Welcome. But I'm just saying, we're talking about words for the birds being attacked as a legalist because you're a fundamentalist. I want to tell you what I stand for. And then there are some people, you know, they arrogate to themselves, you know, great leadership, I'm this great leader, and you'll get a disenfranchised fundamentalist that'll leave the fundamental church, maybe because of fundamentalists, not fundamentalism. And they're turned off to some. And then this person comes in and he says, oh yeah, they're legalist over there. Let me show you where I am. And they exalt themselves. And a lot of these people that are exalt themselves are nothing but a bunch of Absaloms, psychological pacifiers that pacify people. And they're just entertaining a bunch of spiritual babies. And they themselves are babies. You say, is that in the Bible? Yeah, check out the church at Corinth. A bunch of babies. And so I don't want babies. I mean, I like babies, but I don't want them to stay babies. You know, I've got kids now. If they're still sucking bottles and sucking their thumb. Jai, do you still suck your thumb? Jai, I remember she used to suck her thumb in high school. But it was all right. But I don't want babies when they're, you know, adults at that point. That's time to grow up. Amen. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I behaved as a child. Now I'm a man. I put away childish things. My mother can say there's a difference between me as a now she can lean on me a little bit, you know, and that's good. But anyway, we're talking about words for the birds. And I just want to say, we're almost out of time. Steve, should I wrap it up? No, not yet, he says. Well, I think I'm going to wrap it up. And we'll get more into this Wednesday night. But I got a lot to say. You come back Wednesday night and we'll look more at words for the birds. But I'll just end it tonight by saying, do not be intimidated by people calling you a legalist when they really don't understand that different Christians have different standards of separation. And you need to have that down. All right, let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. And we've been talking about that. I wonder if you'll say,